We've got a big announcement, girlies.
We're going on tour!
We're going on tour. We're hitting the road, Jack. Woo! So don't you come back no more, no more.
We're bringing our tour, That's Showbiz, all
That's
over
showbiz.
Ireland.
You have to say it like that.
Well, oh, but I That's can't sing.
That's Showbiz.
You have to say it like old-timey American. I'll work on it.
That has to feature in the show.
We're coming to name them.
A city near you. We're going to Cork, Limerick, Galway, Belfast, and Dublin.
Yeah, sorry about the Midlands, but we can't drive and we need to access by train.
We don't really know any of those. Our geography knowledge of that part of Ireland is limited.
But if you want to come see us, go to ticketmaster.ie and get your tickets because they're flying out the door, girls. And our girlies in the UK and Australia, don't worry. Because there's exciting dates coming soon.
Yeah. Keep the eyes peeled. That's
keep
all we'll
the
say
eyes
on that.
And ears or, peeled.
And the ears, because you might hear it on here again.
Do you keep your ears peeled?
Keep the ears clean, I would say.
Anyway,
maybe.
We're waffling.
Anyway, also, link in the episode description on how to get your tickets.
Exactly. See you then.
See you, girlies. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you feel the chemistry between us?
No. It's giving nunnery. There's no vibes.
There's definitely a vibe. I can't really put my finger on it. I can't articulate it perfectly. No. But there's just, it's an energy.
And I'm so sorry. If we were to do a third, it wouldn't be with you. I'm so sorry. It's just because like you're like my sister. It'd be so weird.
I wouldn't want to do, we just do our own bits.
It's your favourite queers, back in your ears. It's I'm Grandmam.
Hey girlies, I'm Kevin.
And I'm PJ.
And welcome back to I'm Grandmam.
Woo! Right.
We won't be wasting any time.
And no theme.
No catch up either, because there's a lovely looking gentleman sat across the way from me and his luscious lips are lip glossing. And I want to begin my chat with him.
It's been a long time coming, but the guest this week is...
I can't believe it's happening.
My fiancé, Jose Galan.
Also my friend and my lover.
Drum roll, please. Jose Galan.
Alexa, play Finally by CC Peniston.
Woo.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
This is an absolute tune.
And it's also an awkward bit where we want to... Well, actually...
You have to just dance.
Jose's getting into it.
Yeah.
I'm always getting into it.
It's like Bring Your Fella to Work Day.
Yeah, how is it?
I feel I'm kind of up to 90 to be honest.
Now, I've been asking for this for the last 4 years.
I think I'm rattled.
Now is the time.
Now, how long for this to kick in?
There we go.
Right in front of my face. Can I hide?
Put me on my misery, stop her. Alexa!
You were just like this.
Stop. I'm so up to 90. Why am I so nervous?
I've never seen you more frazzled before record.
I think it's because, like, obviously, it's the love of my life. And I'm bringing him on the podcast. I'm throwing him to the wolves. The girlies, like, even though the girlies are lovely. You'll be fine.
I know the girlies are going to eat it all.
Yeah. Welcome to I'm Grandma.
Woo! You could say nothing for the next 40 minutes and the girlies would be like, oh my God, Jose, though.
We have a few rules to go through before we commence, right? Girlies listening, you can be nothing but nice or I will block you from the I'm Grandma page and my own page.
Wait, why would people be hurling abuse?
I'm just doing a disclaimer.
No trolling, please.
And also, when we put out the visual teaser for this, obviously you're going to see myself and Jose in the same room. You're going to see the connection and stuff. Don't bother commenting about it. We're aware of it. Everyone's aware. PJ wanted to play The Boy Is Mine as the intro track because he felt so threatened.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Welcome
for
to
having
Grandma
me. Finally.
Jose. Actually, can we actually get full name? Like, you have your photography page on Instagram and then you have your own personal page.
Yeah. My actual full name is Armin Jose Galang.
Oh, like his first name is Armin.
Your first name is Armin.
Did they call you Armin in secondary school?
No, they... When did it stop? No, primary school, I was Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man, is, it's just not my name.
I kind of like it, babe. I kinda, no, I think Jose's really hot as well, but I kind of
no, like I feel like I'm a Jose. I'm not
yeah,
an Iron Man.
You're definitely a Jose boss.
Yeah.
I feel like Iron Man would be straight.
Yeah.
Like Jose's queer.
Jose's yeah. queer. Jose's big queer.
Iron's your straight alter ego.
Yeah.
She doesn't exist.
Right, so full name, Armin Jose Galang, yeah. soon yes. to be Kirby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, let's talk
or
about this.
Me. Or to
so,
me.
Are we going to double barrel or not?
I think so. I feel like Kirby Galang sounds...
I think Kirby Galang,
Kirby
too.
Kirby Galang, yeah, has the better
But
ring.
Then Galang isn't even really how you pronounce that last name.
What is it?
Galang.
Oh yeah, Galang. Yeah.
Yes, oh my God! I thought you were in prick. Saying it wrong the whole time.
I'm not me whitewashing the surname.
I know. I do it too because I'm just like it's so hard. Kind of like it's really slow, like Galang. You have to stop and think about it.
It's because Galang. Like it's so in, like obviously where Jose's from in the Philippines, they speak Tagalog, right? And it's like so like some of the pronunciations I just can't do it. Yeah, so shit.
Well, you better start learning for the speech, baby.
I'm
I
gonna.
Saw a speech the other day. Someone had learned. Korean.
Oh, I saw
Did you
this.
See that video? Yeah. And he was speaking. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I don't obviously know Korean.
Yeah.
But the pronunciation seems pretty spot on. And I loved how most of the reaction was just aimed at
the family.
Yeah.
And it was just so touching.
You could tell that they actually like, really appreciate him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You just waste.
You need to start learning the Duolingo.
No, it's all,
Tanya
it's
knows more Tagalog than
No, she doesn't.
Oh my
she
God.
Tanya was doing her research.
I know more than Tanya.
You know what song?
I can say I love you in...
Oh my God, has it gone that way already? Has it gone that way already? Actually, to start things off, I would really like to play this exercise that I also saw on TikTok.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's only a two-person thing, so we're going to have to swap around.
What do you mean?
Okay, so for example, Jose, if we start off, it has to be done in silence. We need to just look at each other for 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then we're going to discuss things afterwards.
Well, this is so awkward, babe. What are you just staring into his eyes.
No, I'm joking. I made this up.
Where is this heading?
Oh my God, 30 seconds is a long time.
Do you know what? It's something both of you have in common, which we need to address.
What?
Me.
Yeah,
you're welcome. I came into your lives and I've blessed you with my presence and the both of you, the better for it. So the reason actually why we're doing this podcast, we're actually going to be talking a lot about me and how like I changed lives for the better.
PJ is the common denominator. Yeah. Also, myself and Jose are really hot. But you've now been living together under the one roof. You were doing long distance for how long? Remind me.
Six years. 6 years and then 7 years.
We're going to be 8 years together in February. So
we're living together 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Yeah. So then 6 years.
As someone who's had the...
Pleasure
of living with PJ for... Were we together 5 years?
Were we 5 years?
Yeah. What is it about living with PJ that gets most on your tits? Come on, look, let's just...
He puts away everything, but forgets where everything is. So I'm just like, I have like, well, I'm really messy.
Yeah.
But I have like a method to my chaos. But I have things, I'm just like, I know where they are. And then he moves it, but he doesn't remember where he moved it. So it's like, it takes me ages. Or sometimes he would be looking for something, but he doesn't really look for anything. He just goes... Jose, where is it?
No, but sorry, no, right?
Just imagine, look,
like,
please.
He'd be like, where's the hoodie? And I'm like, the one you left in the middle of the floor in the bedroom. He's like, yeah, I knew where it was. I was like, I folded it and put it in the fucking wardrobe.
No, you don't remember sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I don't.
Like, yeah.
But girls, I'm a busy gal. I just like to clean up.
I can't believe you're so tidy though these days.
Well, I'm really messy.
No, so do you know
In what? Comparison, he's really tidy.
And do you know what I love about this? Is that Kevin loves to paint the picture on the pod that I'm this like messy slob of housemate. How fucking good am I? I'm so clean.
No, this is great because I'm actually glad that the conversation has led us to here because... I essentially did all the hard work for Jose.
No, you didn't. You're pushing this narrative that you house trained me.
I wasn't
a stray dog on the street.
Now, to be fair, we're both messy. He's just a bit
more organized when it comes to his mess.
No, you had very particular ways in the house.
So I geared you up a small bit for
actually,
advice.
I kind of, I would agree with that. I feel like... He has a method now.
Yeah, you're more
But my
methodical.
Method isn't the same as Kevin's.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because his is insane. His is insane. Are you doing that spin-off book yet about your own cleanliness in the house? The Kevin Way.
I want to know, how was doing long distance for all those years? Because lockdown was particularly tough because we couldn't just go out and like forget about things, and I couldn't just be like, oh, come on, let's go for a night out. So like, and I remember there's a time like when you were literally, you would spend the week and you were in bits.
Yeah.
Because you were like, this is so tough. Mm. How did you find doing long distance for all those years?
I mean, I always kind of look back at it and I would always say that, like I always say to PJ, being like, I think for me on a personal level, it actually really helped me become like a better partner for him because of the distance. Oh, just because I had to deal with so much of my own things and all this stuff. I feel like the distance really helped me kind of be my own person, you know?
Yeah,
I feel like
absolutely.
I wasn't so, because like I'm obsessed. I'm really obsessive about things. So I feel like if I kind of just jump straight in. If I jump straight in, I just kind of, I feel like I would have lost myself. So it wasn't, we always talk about this. Between the two of us, for me, I didn't find it as challenging because, because PJ's like love language is touch.
Yeah.
Like literally we have, I have this thing now that I kind of limit him from like hugging me. Or
which
like
is embarrassing
me.
That we're saying out loud. But yeah.
You do what? Wait, go back. No. You what?
I limit him from
hugging
me.
No, like, so basically, right? I'd be always like, so I'd come home and I'd be like, how are you? How'd you get into it? And he's like, yeah, Grant. He was like, the shop is busy. And I'd be like, oh. And then he's like, this is not a hug moment.
Yeah, he
he's
just like, hugs me or like, me? I'm like, kisses me for every
I'm like,
moment.
I'm
anything.
I'm like, sorry, it was
everything.
Busy.
Is your love language too?
Yeah,
oh,
I love 100%. A cuddle. Like, even last night we were watching a film and I was like, pure trying to cuddle him. And he was like, can you get off me?
Oh,
yeah.
You're me.
Yeah, I'm just not very like, I enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah,
but I'm just like, I feel like I get so aware when someone is touching me. So I'm just like, my brain is like doing something, but then I know that, you know, his arm is like on my arm or something.
So now he just goes, S-O. And then I'm like, okay. And I mean sensory overload. And then it's the most annoying.
I actually had to explain it to him before. I'm just like, it's not anything, but I feel like I get really like overstimulated.
Because at the beginning, I'd be like, okay, just tell me you fucking hate me then.
Yeah.
And I'd go psycho and I'd be like, I'd go into the other room and I'd be like, pure like cleaning the gap, but like really loudly. And then he'd be like, no, PJ, like that's just, like, it's nothing to do with you, you know?
It's great. At least you recognize in your life, you have your safe word. But then PJ gets overbearing.
But I think that's why I did struggle, because like, you can't give someone a hug over Skype, you know what I mean?
I mean, you say that, but also, like, I think anyone would have struggled in those circumstances.
Yeah.
People were struggling with just lockdown in general, like, not to mention being separated from your partner.
Yeah.
And also, like, there's so much worse to what you're saying as well, saying that, like, going through that so early on in your relationship and doing the long distance thing kind of geared you up for the rest of the relationship.
Yeah, I feel like, it prepared us even for the lockdown. So if we didn't have like the long distance before the lockdown, that probably would have like, cause I don't know, like the lock, like that whole time is just
insane,
crazy on a personal level.
When it first happened, I remember being on like Zoom to you, and then we were like, fucking these amateurs all trying to be like online long distance.
We've
like,
done this.
We were training for this.
Yeah.
I was like, we're unreal. Literally, I was like, sure, we've been training for this.
I actually loved the period when you were doing long distance. I prefer it now because I don't live with PJ, but I enjoyed certain aspects of it, particularly when you would have your date dinner nights. And he would try new recipes and PJ would still cook for two, but you weren't there, so I would eat your portion. So that was a great time for me. We made fish tacos, which were gorgeous.
Oh, gorgeous.
You did the Guinness stew.
We did a Guinness stew.
Oh my god.
You did that paella. Was it a vegan paella? And I think you cooked that for me. Or was that you cooked that for me some New Year's?
Oh, maybe. No, that was me. New Year's.
Yeah, because the one thing about like Jose is that like,
I'm a great cook.
You're that, number one. But like, you do loads of stuff. Partially because you have undiagnosed ADHD, right? Which we definitely need to get checked out. So any girlies listening who
can diagnose
test for ADHD, that's great. But your undiagnosed ADHD did cause you to hop around a lot of different creative pursuits.
Oh, gosh.
Right? Yeah. So obviously, I met you as a dancer, and that's like where you first came into.
People
like,
people should know this at this point, right? That you met each other at a dance course.
Full-time dancers.
Yeah. Actually.
What was your first impression of PJ when you saw him? Were you like, what the heck is that?
Because I'm after saying mine.
Which first impression? The first one or the first one where we're off gay?
Oh, are you on about the mean? Kyle Hanagami one?
Yeah.
So basically Kyle Hanagami was this big choreographer.
I know Hanagami, thank you. I used to watch his YouTube videos.
But he was a big choreographer from America, and he came over to teach a workshop in Dublin. Me and Sarah McKenzie came up on the bus, and then we were shitting ourselves because we were like the country bumpkins going in to this like big dance studio in Dublin.
Like, you kind of know everyone, you recognize who's like, oh, I don't know those people. And like, it was kind of just like noticing him.
And
I thought it was straight though. But like,
I know, he was I giving was straight.
Yeah. Like the first, that's why
I was stinky.
you're literally a child.
No, but you were purely straight and stinky, Buzz.
I was never stinky.
Sweaty.
Ask your sister. Yeah, sweaty. But he actually, I thought PJ was straight when I first saw him.
Very straight energy. So I was just like, okay, I'm not really going to like
pursue it. Let's not mask shame on the podcast, guys. This is a safe space for all of the community. But go on more about me. Was it gorgeous? Was it beautiful?
Well, like, I don't know. I actually forgot about that. But then the next time I saw you again, and we were both like queer after that. So yeah. Like, I knew you were gay, because then I think I saw a month before you came here and you posted something, and I was kind of stalking you, and I saw that you were with your ex. And I was like to Christian, I'm like, oh my God, PJ's gay. He was like, what? I was like, PJ's gay. And then I was just like kind of stalking him.
They all wanted a piece, you know?
And then I saw him, and then he like, you know the whole story.
Yeah,
that, you
read
know,
the book.
Came in, read the book.
But that was my perspective. But like,
no, I was like, me and Christian were sitting down, and then like he came in with this, like, I literally still remember the knitted oversized top
from American Apparel.
And he was like, he had his like hair shaved, and he came in, and I was just like,
you were into it.
I was so into it.
Really?
I was just
on the floor.
And then like he was walking, and it was like, not even thinking about it, it's actually funny, but he was like walking, and I was just literally like,
Oh,
stop.
And then like he came up to us, and he gave us a hug, and I was literally like,
oh.
And then I was just telling all my friends that I actually really fancied him that weekend, just so it would circulate as well.
Yeah. And then we had our first date in Nando's, but then it was like literally me and Jose, and then all the other dancers.
I know, and then all the others were there.
I'm so awkward, because like that, I think that year was the year I also just came out. Came out to my family that year, so I wasn't really like, oh, I want a boyfriend, or I want to get into a relationship, or I want to start dating. I was just kind of just like, okay, it's my first kind of year.
Yeah, and still discovering yourself.
Yeah, like really trying to figure out like what I like and stuff. And then, so even when I was trying to flirt or was trying to be like forward, I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Absolutely.
I was just literally like, ugh.
Did you plan the whole coming out thing? Like, I know, but like, you need to tell them.
I was kind of out to some of my friends, and then it was just coming home. Like every time I came home, I just felt like really like, oh. And then I think that was the start of the year in January. I was just like, I literally woke up and I'm just like, I want to be happy. So I went and met up with my, like one of my best friends, Regina. We went to Hoth. I came out to her. And then I went back to town. I came out to my sister.
Amazing.
And then we all went home. And by the time we got home, everyone was home. And I came out to my whole family.
Wow.
My dad was surprised. He was just like, I never knew. I'm just like,
I mean, my parents said the same.
But also, Denial is a river in Egypt, you know what I mean?
I know, I'm just like...
there were signs, you know?
I know, there were signs.
But you come from a fairly religious background as well. So does that play a part in that
difficult? Very, very religious family. But I don't know. I don't know what... Like, now, like, I haven't really thought about it in such a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it was very much because, like, it was such a Catholic family, and like, you know, growing up, it was always like, oh, being gay is this, being gay is that.
Yeah.
It's a sin and all these things. And I'm just like, oh, you kind of like put it in your head, but then I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it came out. And
then one of your first holidays together was the Vatican.
Literally. But it's so weird because it was mad because like,
we yassified the Vatican.
We yassified the Vatican.
No, actually, we hated it so much.
But that was the time when like, I feel like Jose's family were like, oh, they're serious, because we were like in the Vatican together. Your dad was so lovely. Like, he like, before
that's
then, he was kind
literally
of,
when my dad like really like, accepted
it.
Because he was like, he probably took the longest time to come around to the fact that I'm gay. And
yeah.
I'm not changing as well, you know? Yeah. I feel like when I first came out, there was just these like, oh my gosh, things. I'm just like, no, I'm just who I am still.
Yeah. They were like, is it a phase? Are you just experimenting?
Yeah. But then like when we went to the Vatican, I remember my mom telling me that my dad was telling the story to all of their friends, being like, I feel like that was his moment where he saw PJ being like really caring towards me and being there for the family, even though we were hating the time. We were waiting for 6 hours in the Vatican in the cold.
You swear, you swear the Pope was Beyonce. Like,
oh my God.
And it was so, and I remember as well, I was being really caring to you, but I was also like, at one stage you were like, you okay? And I was like, I just think it's ridiculous. I can't even hold your hand. We're in the Vatican, like.
Yeah. My dad really like softened after that. And I feel I feel like he realized that there's not like, there like all these things he's learned about people being gay is completely irrelevant. False, you know. You're just like, we're just people like loving each other, you know. There's no difference to like him and my mom or like other examples. I feel like it wasn't even the moment where he accepted me. I feel like it was the moment he accepted that there was no difference.
Yeah,
that love is love, and regardless of, you know, who you are.
And you know what? He probably in that moment as well, or on that trip, saw his son happy, and probably saw
that's
how
literally
happy PJ made you, and just thought, well, how could you argue with that? If my son's happy, I'm happy. You know what I mean? That's so lovely. So, shout out, what is your dad's name? I should know this.
Ray.
Shout out to Ray. Ray, loving your work,
you have
babe.
You have to say Tito, Ray.
Tito Ray, loving your vibes.
So this is another thing, right? So there's a lot of things similar between Filipino and Irish culture. Like that, the Catholic thing is definitely a thing we share, right? But there's obviously other like traditions in the culture I had to learn. But Jose forgot to tell me. So that, like, basically in the Philippines, like out of respect, you have to say to like the older like people, like Tito and Tita. Yeah, like explain like that them, better. Sorry.
So basically, like you call like your elders like kind of auntie and uncle. Kind of thing, you know. So Tito and Tita is like that uncle and or auntie, or like if they're not that much older than you, if they're like an older sister or like an older brother, it's ate and kuya.
Pop off, ate. Pop
ate. You love that song.
That's just a song from Drag Race Philippines.
But then like I didn't say that to BJ. Like he kind of just went in and it was like calling them by their first names, and like me and my siblings were literally like
So you know the way I am, obviously I'm trying to make a good first impression. So I'm bouncing in the door being like, oh my God, Gene, so lovely to meet you. Give
and
me
you
a big
were probably
hug.
Saying, live for you, bitch, and all this. No. They were like, what?
No, but I was pure. And then I remember looking over and like Jose's sister was like a bit startled, and then I was kind of like, oh, is she allergic to me now or what?
And you're very loud.
And I'm very loud.
He's very
right?
loud, isn't he?
Yeah, actually,
that's nothing. How's living with him when he's so loud? He's so loud.
But then I remember she pulled me aside and she was like, oh, this is the story. And then I remember being like to Jose, I was like, why didn't you fuck tell me?
Oh, but it was nice that you learned that way. You know what I mean?
Baptism of fire.
And the fact that you were even trying as well in the first instance.
Also as well, like one thing I think we share a bit, but it's actually it's more on the Filipino side, is that like there's a lot of pressure on you to get like quote unquote proper jobs, you know what I mean? So like it's always like, why don't you go into like nursing, or why don't you become a teacher, or why don't you become like, and like you had turned around then and you were like, oh, I want to be a creative. Like, so like what was that like for you?
I was actually thinking about this recently, because I'm just like, I don't think my parents ever really like stopped me from doing anything. Yeah. They never encouraged me to do anything, but they never discouraged me to like not do something. It's just because like the culture of the Philippines, just because it's a third world country, so if you live there, you'll know like how the competition, like you have to get a good job, you have to get into a good school, and you need to have really good grades for that, and then you need to get to like a good college, and then you need to like graduate with like honors and stuff, and to get into this. So it's just like that mentality of surviving, like I came from like a very like poor family, like very like, and then so I feel like everywhere in the Philippines that's the mentality. You can't really pursue like your hobbies, you know what they
exactly,
kind of call it, but so it was never like, it was never like, oh, be an artist, oh, pursue this, oh, maybe try photography, oh, maybe try like music, maybe try. It was always just, even now, it's always seen as just like, oh, like your hobby or something. But I don't know. I feel like I've always just like fell into things that I love.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I fell into anything.
Yeah, it's
what
ADHD.
It's ADHD. You just like, see something shine and you're like, no, honestly,
it's annoying. I'm like walking and then I see something and I'm just like, I'm going to do that.
I'm going
to
do that.
What a great way to freaking live as well.
I just love kind of like doing my own thing. Yeah. Like, if I feel like I want to be like a florist, I'm going to be a florist.
I get you.
You know, if I feel like...
you were telling me one day, you were like, oh, Jose's a florist. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, amazing, but I never knew. But then I came over the next month and you weren't a florist anymore.
But you were managing a vintage store in Temple Bar.
And then I thought you were joking about him being a florist.
No, honestly, I don't even know. It's like, so you know how some people are like, oh yeah, my grandparents are like artists.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Or I didn't come from a... Like, literally, I don't even know anyone from my family who's like an artist or like a full-time like who pursued like a creative field. Everyone's
your sister
like
was a rapper
nurses.
For a bit. His sister was a rapper for a bit.
Send me the vid after.
Maybe when we go home to the Philippines, I inquire more because I don't really have this like, oh yeah, my mom taught me how to draw when I was, you know, I'm just like, no, I've always... I think for me, it's like what really stimulates me in the moment.
Yeah.
And you're obviously just a creative person, right? I think for a lot of creative people as well, it doesn't matter like what outlet you're channeling that creativity. Mm. You'll just throw your hand at something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And if it interests you and if you're getting a bit of a buzz off it, you'll stick with it. You know what I mean?
You were talking about the Philippines there as well. And like one thing that always kind of stuck out for me is that like I obviously was so privileged that like I literally was born in Blarney Street and lived there my whole life until I moved to London, right? And
the you could have gotten a better deal than Blarney Street and walking up that fucking hill every day. But anyway, I know what you mean.
Do you know
privilege
what I mean?
Of, yeah.
As in like my whole adolescence, whereas like you were like, you moved here like when you were like a child. Like,
age were you, Jose? Sorry. Were you 11?
11 years old, yeah.
Yeah. So like,
did my research.
Imagine like moving from the Philippines when you were 11. What was that like?
Did you have English before you moved over?
I don't even really remember. Because I know I was watching Harry Potter and stuff. And I kind of understood it. So maybe I did. Like, obviously in the Philippines you have...
Magic is universal.
True.
No.
Why is Harry Potter my reference?
What is it? You're going to sacrifice himself.
No, like in the schools in the Philippines, that you actually have to like speak in English.
Okay.
Or they give out to you. But I don't even really remember knowing it or fully really understanding. I had words and stuff. So I wasn't fully like, I didn't know how to speak English, but I also wasn't fluent when I moved here. Hmm. So I moved here when I was 11. I thought in my head I was only moving for like a holiday. Like I'm going to see my mom. I haven't seen my mom in like, I think like 9 months at that time. And that was like where... phone calls, you have like landlines, but you don't really get to call that often, or there's no like video calls. I think she used to send us like letters and stuff. So imagine like an 11-year-old child who kind of just like, you know, your mom moved away, but you don't really understand why. Mm-hmm. Or you're just like, you just kind of, I think I just felt like she just left. Okay. I haven't seen
it's
her.
Crazy.
You know, and I'm just like,
my mom went on a holiday before with a friend Burr for 2 weeks, and I remember I was in bits. My mom got back from that holiday and I was kissing her feet. So like 9 months must have been crazy. Your mom moved over first to work service.
Yeah, she moved here, she's a nurse. Because again, as I said, like we weren't, I don't know if I say like I'm gonna say poor.
Yeah,
just because we were, because like there was like times where we couldn't take exams in the school because, you know, our tuition fee wasn't paid in time and stuff like this.
Yeah.
There was just so much struggle. So, you know, let's like...
And she was trying her hardest, obviously, but it's so hard.
Yeah. She had to move. She had to like find somewhere where she could kind of provide for 3 kids and stuff and all this. So, yeah. But then for me, I'm just like, maybe like now looking back at it, I'm just like, I was 11. How did I... I didn't understand the... You know, she had to move to provide for us. I just want my mom around, you know.
But yeah, absolutely.
Because you would just have this feeling of abandonment. But then, like, you're like, she's actually doing the biggest act of love by leaving the country and trying to provide for you.
I feel like now, like, kind of like when now everything's kind of going full circle because my sister has like 2 kids and we're kind of, you know, kind of really understanding what my mom had to do for us. So
the foundation that she set
That she had to kind of, you know, move away, even like away from her. Imagine like going, like leaving your 3 kids. It's like probably like was crazy. And she was alone.
Tough for her, I'd imagine.
She didn't really know. Like obviously she had people, you know, that she worked with, but she didn't really have her friends or family. Or even access to them like what we have now. So it was just like
because now like you could obviously at least have FaceTime and stuff, but back then you literally could have to schedule a landline call.
Like now thinking about it, I'm just like, oh my god, that must have been like really like difficult.
When you first got off the plane, like what were the vibes?
You're like, oh my god, because, cold.
Sorry, like, do you know what I mean? Like if you get off the plane in Dublin, I'd be like freezing cold, can we get back on?
Yeah, it was like March 26th, I think is when we arrived. 25th is when we arrived here. So it was kind of like spring. it was still kind of chilly. Mm. We had like oversized like leather jackets because they were like, oh, it's going to be cold there. So my dad kind of just like got like leather jackets from his friends or his families. So it was like me and my sister and my brother, we were all like wearing these like oversized leather jackets. And you just get out. Like, this was my first time being on a plane. So I was just like, I was actually getting sick the whole time.
Oh, no.
But then I came down and it was cold. And it was like, you know, like Dublin Airport used to be like tiny. So you had to get off the plane and then walk. And it was like cold. And I was just like, I saw my mom and all this thing. And like, I don't know. Everything was like magical
to me. So can I ask, when you arrived in Ireland, obviously you were navigating being in this brand new country, but yeah, were you excited for this new life and to be finally being reunited with your mom, or were you traumatized and like, get me back to the Philippines?
I think it was more, I just wanted to be with my mom. I don't like, yeah, like in like, when I think about it now, I'm just like, I didn't really have anything, any like opinions of being here. I wasn't like, oh, I hate this because it's cold or this. I'm just like, I'm just with my family. I'm just happy to be here, yeah, because my family is here. But then, kind of like the undercurrent of that is I've literally left everything I know.
Yeah,
absolutely. About my entire life without any preparation. Yes, they've told us we're moving, or yes, they told us we're going to see my mom and stuff. But, you know, there was, you know, obviously they're like old school parents, so they weren't really talking about feelings or, you know, like you're not going to see your cousins anymore.
That's who what are I'm
like
saying, your friends and other family.
Like literally everything I know, even the weather itself, I'm just like, it was freezing here, you know? It wasn't like tropical heat.
Because you'd be like running around the Philippines in like shorts and a t-shirt, and all your filter pictures, you're never wearing a jacket once.
I don't even know what a jacket was back then, you know?
I wish there was a picture of you coming off the plane in those like jackets that are too big for you.
Oh, I'd love to have kept those.
You always tell me about your mom when she saved up for the stuff for you when you came over. That's so cute.
Oh, she was just like, I think the whole time she was just storing like sweets and chocolate and like all these things. So like when we all came into where she was like living, it was just like one room. She was sharing like a house with like two other people, but all five of us were just staying in her like one double bedroom, which was fine with us because like that was her setup in the Philippines. We were all sleeping in one room.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, my life is like, PJ is gonna see it. He's gonna see the house that I kind of grew up in. Anyway, she had this like wardrobe full of like chocolate, and like she opened it and I was literally like ding, and then like literally, because I've never seen it was like everything. It was even saying to PJ, like Pringles back then for me was a luxury. Chicken nuggets in McDonald's, it's like luxurious.
And PJ was rare, Donald. PJ was having the breakfast lunch.
Literally.
Then like talk about like the guilt for me.
So I'm just like there's so like the contrast now that I didn't really deep back then was actually like crazy. Cause like literally like my whole world was like flipped, and then I had to just adapt. And then, you know, you just kind of like, as a kid, you kind of just like, you know, you're able to just like, you know, do that. And like,
yeah,
you know,
and like when you don't know any better either, I suppose you on the flip side of things, like you probably didn't think that you were missing out too much.
Yeah,
you know what
like
I mean?
I wasn't like, take me back. I wasn't like, you know, I didn't know. I'm just like, oh, I'm just happy to be here with my family. But then,
was it tough to make friends?
It was. It didn't like, even in school, like I was saying, like my first school here was actually like really lovely. Like I was saying to PJ, there was a time that I didn't really understand them, or I think I kind of understood what was happening, but really I was kind of just like,
hi.
Because I had to sit in the last, so that was March, April, May, June, last 3 months.
Yeah.
So last 3 months of like fourth class or fifth class, I think. And then I was just like, everyone knew each other. Yeah. I was just like this random like Filipino kid like going in, and I had barely like no like conversational English.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like, I was talking to people and stuff.
It's so funny because you, even the English that you were learning, I'm just imagining you being dropped in Dublin and everyone talking like that.
And they all have the different slang and you're
and
like,
sometimes like the teacher would be like coming up to me like explaining something, and I just remember, I just have this like visual of me like sitting there like looking up at him, and I'm just like, and then you realize now that I'm just like, oh my gosh, I was like really anxious. Like I think this is where a lot of the anxiety kind of like built up, because like
absolutely,
it was all this unexpressed kind of like, I don't know what was happening, you know. Yeah. I couldn't express myself in the language that people were talking.
Yeah.
I couldn't really understand them. But even I was saying to PJ, like the first time I went to school, I had to bring like lunch. But in the Philippines, like packed lunch is rice and like a meat dish.
Yeah.
or something. So you have like, you kind of open it and then it's like food. That's, that for me, that was my lunch.
Yeah.
But then it was like my first day, it was literally like...
man with the rice.
Yeah. Yeah, like me, I had like cute, like I was so excited. But then everyone like had like sandwiches. And like
ham
apples
sandwiches and Nutella
stuff.
Sandwiches.
And I was just like looking at like everyone and I'm just like, oh, I can't open this.
Oh, stop it, really?
So I don't think I ate my lunch. It's because I didn't really understand. Like,
yeah,
what,
you don't
want
to feel different.
And I feel like now, like, thinking and talking about it, I'm just like, I must have felt like really like, oh my gosh, like I compared myself and all these things. Mm. And
completely
it
alienated.
Yeah, I felt... Yeah, like I think like this feeling of being different was there, and I think at that age, that must have been really like tough to kind of manage, because you're just like, you don't want to be different from the people around you. You want to socialize and be friends. That that was like the time where we just like kind of play games in the street. But I've probably felt so different. It was like, you know, this Filipino kid, and but they were so cute though. There was a moment where they were all playing like soccer in the yard, and I just remember they were like, come like play with us. And then they
kids can be nice too.
They invited me, and then I could see them talking and being like, oh, kind of, I think they were just like, just let him like kind of score a goal, and
let him go and goal.
And then like scored,
oh, let him score. That's so cute.
That's very cute.
So I think they were really lovely. I didn't have like a negative experience. Obviously, I think it was more very much how I felt within the space. It wasn't necessarily how people were making me feel. So
I remember that was the one thing I know shouldn't have, but it like shocked me when I was like, oh, you weren't bullied more like in your primary school. They were actually nice kids.
It's great that you had a mostly positive experience.
Yeah, because in my lovely. Especially the early on in my secondary school, like a lot of the non-white students got like such dogs abuse, like I remember. And as well, the Asian kids were like, I remember one Asian child was like getting mocked, and they were like, go back to China and all stuff, and he was like, I'm Korean.
Yeah,
he was like, "What are you on about?" I'm so glad that didn't happen.
I know. Me too. Even me, I'm just like, that was like also like kind of inner city Dublin as well.
Yeah. When did you find dance then? At what age were you when you started dancing?
Dancing happened when I was like 23.
Oh, that was that late.
Oh yeah, I wasn't like a dancing.
Oh, I had painted this picture in my head just when you were telling that last part of the story that you'd come over and you couldn't really communicate with your peers. Yeah. So, but the one language that you all had in common was dance.
And then you broke into a routine together.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
And you found your tribe.
Oh, God.
And we made you into a musical.
Okay, so it wasn't that. You were 23. No. Oh, my God, baby.
Did you then eventually, like, as you grew up, like, you obviously got welcomed by a lot of Irish people, but do you feel a part of, like, Irish culture?
This is like the really confusing bit that's really hard to explain if you're, I don't know, because I feel like I'm a first generation.
Yeah, is it first generation immigrant? It is, right? Because you came
second
here.
Generation would be my kids.
Yeah, yeah, would be your
like,
kids.
Like Avian Aurora, your
nieces. So like I'm a first generation, but I moved here when I was 11. So it's really conflicting. I'm not like, I'm confused between the two things. I'm just like, it's just really hard to place myself.
Okay.
Because... Yeah. I feel like there were a lot of my kind of formative years. I tried so hard to be white, you know. I tried so hard to like blend in and do what everyone else was doing. So like a lot, like if like I spent so much years doing that, and now I'm trying to unlearn those things that I've been trying to do. So I'm in this kind of stage. Honestly, I'm in this stage right now where I'm trying to find really like my identity, you know. Like I do feel very, very Filipino, and I feel super connected to that. But then the other side of that is I don't know anything about it. I never I left when I was 11, so I don't understand their history. I don't really I speak the language, yes, I eat the food and all this stuff, but culturally I don't really I don't know, you know. I know Irish things and I know what I know now because of trying to not be Filipino, but then I'm just like, it's just like this like in between,
trying to reconcile the two.
It's really, really kind of hard
because I used to always ask you before, I was like, would you call yourself like Irish Filipino? And it's always a question you struggle to answer, like, because you're always like, you don't really like, where do you put yourself? That's the one thing you've always struggled to answer that question.
It's very much still like a question that I'm asking myself right now, because It's hard. It's a really hard. I'm just like, I do understand a lot of Irishness, and a lot of what I do is very much derived from that. But I don't really feel like I'm Irish. Like, if someone says, do you feel Irish? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm Filipino. Like, you know, I'm from here, or I consider this home.
Yeah.
But I just don't think I feel like I could. I feel like it's more like I can't allow myself, or I have no permission to feel Irish.
But do you think that's because of yourself or external factors? Because I know we had a deep conversation. So basically, obviously, there was the riots in Dublin a few weeks back, where in the daytime there was a tragic incident happened, and that then in turn caused this big riot in Dublin. And from the far right, they used it as an excuse to
They were basically opportunistic and just looking for an excuse to
tear the city apart and get
their anger that they've maybe been feeling towards the government and everyone else. And also, they were, a lot of the hatred was, you know, aimed at any migrant who exists in the
literally
city.
And they just used it as an excuse. So that basically there was loads of layers to it, and we can go into all that. But basically what I want to talk about is that night you were with me when that unfolded. And like, at the start you were kind of like, oh, get home, I think something's happening in town. And then as the night went on, you got more and more upset because of what was going on.
Yeah, I literally had like a full-on breakdown.
Yeah, you did.
Understandably so.
Yeah,
but it was more funny because, you know, like, when they finally gathered myself, I'm just like, okay, breakdown.
Yeah, literally. Like
you were having a breakdown. Like,
literally, yeah, me the next day.
I was like, but babe, it's so rightly so.
It's just a lot. I feel like it's just a buildup of a lot of things for anyone who's like a person of color and is an immigrant here in this. Maybe even if they were born here, I don't really know the experience. But for me anyways, and for the people that I know, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's why I find it so difficult to like allow myself to feel Irish, because I feel like there's always this people who would look at me and just be like, go
He's
back to
Irish.
Your country.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just
like,
be Irish.
Yeah, and even like the I always, like, we always discuss this. Like, I know it's like harmless and I don't really take offense in it, but I feel like the most common thing I get asked anywhere by like a stranger is, where are you from?
Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, and I feel like that puts me in a position where I'm just like, oh, you've seen that I look different.
Yeah.
Okay. Then like now in my head, I'm kind of like, I'm adjusting. I'm adjusting for you, just so you're able to accept that even if I'm different, I know Irishness, you know? Yeah, so just all like, I feel like I'm just going to speak for myself. For me, it's just like years and years of like having to adapt and having to like kind of cater to, you know, make people feel like, you know, they're not like, you know, I'm not that different and all this stuff.
You're not threatening what it is that their Irish ideal
is.
It's just that
I'm like, I know like people say that, you know, loads of people aren't that way. And I fully like agree with that, but it's just like that one person who would like, you know, say something that I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, like I'll never feel like I'm from Ireland because I just like this, the color of my skin and all this stuff. It gets really, really tiring, and exhausting. I feel like that week or that night, it just kind of really bubbled up inside me and just like kind of erupted, and I'm just like, fuck up. Fuck's sake. And I'm just like, fuck's sake. I'm just like, I still like anything I do. And I feel like, I don't know if you felt this, because I know you've lived abroad as well, but for a person of color that's an immigrant in a country, I feel like there's this like criteria that you have to like fill. And even what people were discussing afterwards, they were like, yeah, but there are these like lovely immigrants who like just do the work and like put their head down. Yeah, and also I'm just like, I get that argument, but that also, in my head now, I'm just like, that's just the other side of what they're saying.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
You shouldn't have to be the perfect person just to exist in the country.
I feel like a lot of people will relate to this. It's just like, I feel like you have to be exceptional just to be accepted here. Mm-hmm. You have to have like, I have to be really good at what I'm doing, or I have to be like a really good citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I just want to exist and not have to be questioned.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just like, I don't know how, if you felt that in London where you have to like fill a criteria, or.
I've only felt like that my Irishness has been celebrated.
Me too, which is
when I was
ridiculous.
Working as a waiter and people's faces would light up when they'd hear my accent.
Yeah.
And also like going over to London, like one thing that happened as well, like people don't know where you're from in Ireland. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They don't know where you're from. Yeah. They don't know what your background is. They probably can't differentiate between an inner city working class accent in comparison to like a posh. They just hear Irish and, you know, their ears prick up. And obviously I know, like, years ago there was the whole thing of like, no blacks, no dogs, no Irish.
Yeah.
But that has never been my experience. Yeah. And most Irish immigrants anywhere, well, maybe in Australia, they're tearing the place up a bit.
No, they're having a ball in Australia. but like they are welcome to an open arms. That's why I'm like, even during the riots when they were screaming like immigrants out and all this stuff, I was like, Irish people are like the biggest group of immigrants.
Yeah.
All we do is immigrate. Literally. Yeah. Is it immigrate or emigrate?
Emigrate.
Emigrate. Leave. We leave. Yeah. We take on. Like, like Boston, like you know, Perth. Like Sydney, Perth, like Charlotte Lindsay, you know what I mean? Us in London, like, we're famous immigrants, like.
Yeah.
I'm like, so for you to then turn around to say people who are coming back into our country be like, oh no, we don't want you though. Do you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
And like, you're right. The majority opinion would probably be like, oh my God, Jose, we love having you in the country.
Yeah.
But there's no point in shying away from the fact that there's murmurings of fascism and like right-wing rhetoric that is making its way up the world. And we've been ignoring it for years. And just because we don't have like a mainstream like right-wing political party, I think people have always thought that like,
grand.
Like, Ireland's fine. Yeah. Oh no, it's Cade, Mila Foyle, the land of a thousand welcomes. Yeah. We'll look after you, whatever. But it burying our head in the sand to all of it isn't assisting the problem in any way.
Like,
it's not the way forward.
Like, literally, they were saying that their strategy, because this has been happening so much, especially in Dublin, like protests and stuff, right? And
a lot of it, I think, kind of have been in lockdown and stuff, and then with the war in Ukraine stuff, and people coming over, and
it's been festering, right? But then they've said that the guards' approach in Ireland was to be lenient with these people. They were like, let's have a soft hand approach. But like, obviously we know now that that doesn't work. Yeah. And also as well, like, there's so much like disinformation on the internet, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so it's like it creates this vacuum of people, like if you're in a Facebook group and that's where you're getting all your news sources, you do kind of get indoctrinated into it. So I know, like, and they do target working class areas because they are people who are struggling and they're being let down by the government, and now they need somewhere to point their anger.
They're channeling their hate. Yeah, that's so what they're
it's
doing. Not,
it's, they just need somewhere to channel the hate.
Yeah, and I don't really know like what the solution for that is, because I feel like it's deeply ingrained in us for... I think in the whole world. I don't think it's like exclusively to Ireland. I feel like everywhere I go, I would feel the same. I would feel like I'm a second-class citizen because my skin color is not... I'm not ethnically white, you know? And I feel like that's the issue. And I feel like that's deeply ingrained in every single person. Even if you feel like you're progressive. And that's what the frustrating thing. I feel like that's why I was really like emotional and really like felt so like triggered by what's happening. Because I feel like, and again, I feel like a lot of people will relate to this. It's like, I'm just tired. I'm tired of doing the emotional labor for people, you know, for just like, I'm just like, oh, I have to adjust because, you know, I'm a person of color. I have to like be exceptional, or I have to speak this way, or I have to, you know, there's just always like this long, 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 long list. And even if it boils down to it, they'll just see my color and they'll be like, you know, get out.
Yeah.
So whatever I do, I feel like it feels
you're
like that. It feels like,
anyway.
Whatever we do. And I feel like there's, and for me, I'm even also privileged because I'm like, you know, I'm quite a big man, and I'm not like an easy target for a lot of people. But then I have friends who, you know, who are in a more like
itty bitty vibes.
Absolutely,
who'd feel a bit.
Yeah,
it's so scary. You know, people start on them more because they feel like they are an easier target. So I feel like if anyone speaks up about like how hard it is to live here because you're a person of color, then someone's gonna go back to your country. I'm just like, no, tell the other Irish people.
I'm going for Christmas.
I'm just like, tell all the other Irish people to go back here. Why aren't they being questioned? You know, give them the same energy. I'm just like, I'm going to stay here. And I'm going to, I feel like I've felt this kind of like activism to kind of speak out about it, because like I have two nieces here that are like kids, and they're going to grow up in this country, and I don't want them to kind of face the same thing as like we've faced, where, you know, they feel like they always have this like, you know, they feel like second class citizens. Because, you know, I'm just like, I just want to exist. I don't want to have to prove anything to anyone. I'm just like living here. Like emigration is a part of this world. Everyone's moving around.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know? And it's what's holding the fucking country together.
Yeah. And we love to travel around the Gaff Girls.
Everyone's traveling and everyone's like living somewhere else. So yeah. I'm just like, I just don't want to feel that same burden anymore of like having to be questioned and having to answer for things and prove myself. I'm just like, no, like if you can exist wherever, like in London, without, you know, being left in peace, I want to be left alone in peace.
Exactly.
Look, that's a fucking simple way of putting it.
I'm not even asking, I'm not talking about to ask people to do something. I'm just like, I just want you to know that these are lived experiences, you know, like even if you don't see racism out there or outright, this is what we have to live. I feel uncomfortable going into town, or it's like the people, it's not even like people shout at me, it's like, you know, the looks I get, or I get treated differently in a taxi. Yeah. But even like, I hear, like, you just hear it. Like, everyone, like, shouts, like, go back to your country and this. I'm just like, I don't feel fully safe. And, you know, I always be, like, looking around and all this stuff.
And I know you don't want anyone to do anything, but I do, right? So, because...
it's a case of calling it
that's
out.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. I was just about to say, especially if you're from a place of privilege, like, so, like, if you're white and you're... Obviously, don't put yourself in danger.
Don't,
just saying.
No.
Don't, obviously, get yourself...
If you feel safe.
But also, even... You don't need... If someone is... has a verbal assault said to them, you don't have to run after and beat up the person that says it, because obviously like don't be putting yourself in danger. Also, violence wouldn't solve anything. But even turning to the person that happened to was and say, are you okay, like, so sorry that happened to you, do you want me to like help you go to the guards or whatever, that'll make so much difference.
And I get it, I'm just like, don't put your own safety at risk. You know, I'm just like, if you are someone that can help, but then I think it's more like actually just having it in your head and recognizing that, you know, like we live like a different experience to you. Absolutely. And sometimes like when, like, even like not to like, I'm saying like you did a bad thing, but even like the day after you were like, come out, it'll be nicer, it'll be better for you. And I'm just like, no, I actually, the anxiety I feel within me is real. Like the fear for my life, the fear for my friends and family's life is real. It's not like, or they just kind of like, they were rowdy. I'm just like, no, like you heard voice notes being like, kill all immigrants.
Yeah, that was,
you know? And I'm just like, that's like spooked me out. And I'm just like, that's a real, real feeling for a lot of people. Yeah, so absolutely. When we say we feel anxious or we feel unsafe, it's not like, they'll be fine. Like no one's going to harm them. Like we feel that in every step we make outside of our houses, you know, maybe even inside. So it's just that. It's like being aware and being compassionate to people and having... you know, understanding that they're living a completely different, like, experience.
Thanks so thank you so, so much for sharing. You are such an icon, legend
really
at the moment.
It.
Do you want to marry me?
No.
Oh! Now you're taking back the ring. Okay, girls, we do need to clear up a huge rumor, right?
From the outset, from the podcast's inception, we have received messages from many a confused girly saying, oh my God, can't believe PJ is dating Hosier, right? And I blame you. Because anytime you mention him, especially in the early days when you were, you know, finding your way around addiction, you'd go, me and my young brother Hosier, like, Jose, you can sit back and relax and we can just enjoy PJ's responses.
I forgot about this.
We're playing Jose or Hosier. Basically,
you should have a little paddle.
Oh my God, yeah, we should have done paddles.
Well, it's a podcast.
No,
so
grab the cats. You'll pick happy for Jose.
No, lip gloss for me.
Okay. It's
basically
a podcast, it's not a visual.
I'm going to call out a few obscure facts about Hosier and your fiancé, Jose.
Yeah.
Right? You have to tell me who the fact is relating to.
I'd actually be upset if you don't, like, kind of know.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, sorry, no, I don't like this. I'm being put very much on the spot.
Okay. If you get,
you should know me by
if
now,
you get more wrong, Jose staying in my bed tonight.
No, if I get more,
it's so cold in that room, baby. I need somebody.
If I get more right, you have to get a tattoo with me.
Wait, I thought you were getting a tattoo.
No, I said number one bestseller.
No, he didn't. He said bestseller. Go on, continue.
I said number one bestseller, and I'm going to get it in the new year. I've been so busy. Okay, girls, okay. You just parade around the gas.
What do you mean?
With your cats or whatever.
Like, I have a shop. I'm running a shop.
He's running a shop.
We didn't even talk too much about Golly Gosh.
I know.
Follow Golly Gosh Vintage on Instagram.
Could I just say, on Golly Gosh, it's quickly become my favorite Instagram account. Your voice, and I've realized it more over the course of this record, is exceptional.
Yeah.
I wish I had started the podcast.
Yeah. Also, like, girlies, so many of you come to Golly Gosh, and I just want to say thank you.
Oh.
That's why I'm here, because
do the girlies go?
So many. Literally.
You're welcome for all the sales.
Honestly.
For me.
They would be like, oh my gosh, I know PJ, I know the pocket, but I'm just like,
I know Kevin.
Yeah, they said Kevin.
They said Kevin's name.
Run me that check, Golly Gosh.
No,
please.
But honestly, like, you have the best. Like, I'm not just saying this because I'm here, but like, they're the best.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna fly through these.
Okay.
Whose mom loves to paint? Is it Jose or Hosier?
Paint.
Yeah, there's something wrong. Jose. With it. Hosier.
Yeah.
Correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
His first album cover was actually painted by his mum.
Oh, that's lovely.
I actually want to look at it. I think I know what it looks like.
No, it did look very traumatic.
Whose go-to karaoke track on holidays is Problem by Ariana Grande?
Hosier.
Yeah, it's Hosier. Now, I don't know that to be true. Obviously, it was tougher to find obscure facts on Hosier. But he did sing a cover of it for a BBC Live Lounge.
Really?
So I'd imagine, it's actually really good, I'd imagine he'd maybe do it on Halls if he was doing karaoke. But obviously he probably wouldn't be doing karaoke on Halls.
Okay.
I hate karaoke.
Who loves the coffee in Fallon and Burn?
The coffee in Fallon and Burn?
Yeah.
You don't like coffee, Hosier.
Knows me.
It's Hosier again.
Yeah, Hosier, yeah.
Yeah, when he was working on one of his albums in Dublin, he said he lived off the food and coffee at Fallon.
Really?
He got money.
He got money, yeah.
Okay. Burn food.
Who chose Joseph as their confirmation name?
Jose.
It's Jose. Oh my God. Okay. Which of these people had a dog named Charlotte?
Hosier.
It was Jose.
You didn't have a dog named Charlotte.
Yeah, it is.
Charlotte,
Ninja,
Stephanie.
And Derby.
Oh, that was... I had more dogs in the Philippines.
Oh,
well, you never told me about Charlotte.
Just because they were sleeping in the room doesn't mean they didn't have space for a dog, baby.
they were outside. The PETA don't ring.
Yeah, PETA doesn't... You don't want to go to the Philippines to see the dogs.
Okay. At Easter time, who would most like to receive a Malteser egg?
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why do you keep looking at me as if I'm going to give you the answer?
Like, Jose? I don't know what he's like.
Hosier.
Yeah, because Jose is on to Maltese.
No, but you said Jose.
Yeah, but I don't know, like.
Wait, are we keeping scores?
You know? You like every type of chocolate.
I wouldn't like Malteser eggs.
Okay. Well, I basically just found a tweet.
But that's a nondescript thing.
I just found a tweet where Hosier said that his favorite chocolate is Malteser.
No, sorry, no, girlie's listening. Who wouldn't like a Malteser egg?
No, the one you'd want
I would
the
go
most.
Kinder Bueno first.
Kinder Bueno, me too.
Yeah.
On the 23rd of September 2011, who posted a picture on their Instagram of a Starbucks cup with the caption, "Morning coffee in Camden"?
Hosier.
It was Jose.
You did it.
I did.
Babe.
It was Jose.
But you don't even drink coffee.
And it was a venti Starbucks cup.
It was like a mocha. It's not even a coffee.
Oh my God.
Like...
Babe, I was screaming my 3-year-old Instagram.
So funny.
Who once had a mobile number ending in 3313?
Oh, for fuck's sake, that's you, Jose.
Come on. No, it's Hosier. Do you know anything about your fiancé?
No, it was Jose.
No, it was Hosier.
How did you know his mobile number?
So listen to this. I'm going to give context. He released his personal number on Twitter after the release of his first album so fans could call him and let them know what they thought.
That's so funny.
Oh. Now, most of them, I think, left voicemails. Okay. I don't think he spoke directly to them.
I say this. I doubt it.
Okay.
I wouldn't believe him.
Lastly, who used to be obsessed with powdered chicken and mushroom soup?
Jose.
It was Jose.
Yeah, you're still a kind of air, no?
Not as much anymore. We used to get like big like from Moss Graves. And
okay. I think I did well.
Oh, sorry, I have one more. No, I have two more. I don't know why I said that was the last one. There's lots more. Yeah. Whose first instrument that they learned to play was the violin?
Jose.
When did you give it up?
I don't know.
Did you learn it over here?
No, I don't know why he gave it up. ADHD.
Oh, okay.
ADHD.
Oh, sorry. Whose favourite childhood TV show was Fraggle Rock?
Jose.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Fraggle
Rock is. Neither do I. I think it's the thing with puppets.
You know, the one thing I love about Jose,
what?
He's more clueless about like celebrities and stuff like that than I am. And that's saying something.
Like, I'm just not into pop culture.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh my God, and we want this person's show. And he's like, who?
Yeah. I feel like so rude because I'm just like, should I know?
And I'd be like,
person?
Oh my God, guess whose podcast we want? He was like, who's that? You know what I mean? He just doesn't have a clue.
Girlies,
I haven't a clue.
All good things must come to an end.
Oh,
now I feel like we've been recording all day, haven't we?
It was a gorgeous recording. Thank you for joining.
Thanks so much for finally coming on the podcast, for
finally
clearing up the rumors, for just being a great partner to one of my best friends, and for making him very happy.
Are we all very much lovey-dovey the whole episode?
Yeah, but look, come here. We
love love.
Most of my episodes, I rip into you.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been a nice one.
Tell all the ates and titas I was asking for him. Can you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about the queers and the titos?
What about the queers and titos? You only want the girls.
The queers and the titos. You only want the girlies. The girls, obviously. Pop off ate.
Okay.
Pop off ate, pop off tita. Anyway, Jose, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I'm Jose Galang, everyone.
We need to say goodbye in Tagalog.
Pa'alamna.
Balamna.
Pa'alam.
Pa'alamna.
Why do we go really deep when I'm like speaking Tagalog?
It's actually
pa'alamna.
So what is it? Pa'alam.
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 I think so. Oh my gosh. Am I right?
Okay, we'll check it out.
I don't know. I don't actually speak Tagalog.
Bye, girlies.
Bye, girlies.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.